today's topic, Heaven is for Real, with host Pastor Bill Tucker.
When God makes this earth all new again, will we know one another? That's the question that we have for you today in this interesting study, Heaven is for Real. Hello, friend. I'm Pastor Bill Tucker, your host. We'll be seeking to answer that question as we open God's Word together. But before we go any further, let's ask God to help us in our understanding. Would you join with me as we pray? Father in heaven, I'm so thankful that we have another opportunity to open Thy Word, to study for ourselves, to understand what is there. We seek understanding today on this issue as to whether or not heaven is for real. I pray, Father, that it will be indeed for real in our lives, that we will truly know what is truth on this subject. Open our minds, Father, and grant to us your wisdom in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we open God's Word, I'd like to also ask, have you received yet your copy of the Search for True Study Guides? I trust by now, as we're into Lesson 6 that we'll be into today, that you have your copy, because we refer to the different Bible texts that are in here. They're linked together in a chain, and on one of the back pages is a tear-out sheet that you can put in the flyleaf of your Bible. It becomes very convenient and helpful in your continuing study of God's Word. That's the Search for True Study Guides. At the end of the program, we'll be giving you the information how you can secure your copy of the Search for True Study Guide. I ask you the question, what will be our occupation in heaven? And will we know our loved ones there? What will the people be doing? What will they be like? How good it is to know that just ahead is the fulfillment of the precious words of Jesus found here in His promise in John chapter 14. Let's open our Bibles to John chapter 14. I hope you have them there close by, because this is an important study. Every study is important, but this one is especially been important to me. Notice what it says here in John 14, beginning with verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. What a wonderful promise Jesus has given to us. He's told us that heaven is a prepared place. It's not a condition. It's definitely a place. There are going to be mansions, and when He comes again, He's going to take us home with Him. Yes, He's taking us back to heaven. The best part of heaven, though, is not going to be the mansions. Nor is it going to be because we're going to be able to walk the streets of gold. It's going to be heaven because Jesus is there to be with Jesus. The Bible teaches that there are actually three heavens. Now, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2 and verse 4. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And then verse 4, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Now, it would seem to me if there is a third heaven, there must be a first and a second. Wouldn't you agree? The Bible shows that the first heaven is the atmospheric heaven. That's where the birds fly. Then there is the second heaven. That's the stellar heavens. But then beyond the starry sky is the third heaven, which Paul calls paradise. Let's see what John the Revelator says about this. Let's now turn to Revelation chapter 2, I believe it is. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7. Here it says, "To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." Did you notice that word, "which is in the midst of the paradise of God"? Now, if we compare this verse with Revelation 22, verses 1 and 2, we can then go and find exactly where paradise is. Notice what it says. "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb." Then it says, "In the midst of the street and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." Now, the river of life comes right out of the throne of God. And then there on either side of the street is the river and the tree of life. Therefore, the throne of God must be in paradise as well. The third heaven, then, is where the city of God is. The New Jerusalem is where God's throne is, and God's throne is in paradise. We can read the description if we glance back one page there in Revelation 21, beginning with verse 10. Revelation 21, verse 10 and onward. "And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God and her light, was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof, and the city lieth 4 square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal." Just imagine, this New Jerusalem, the city described here in Revelation, why, as you think about it, it's a city larger than the state of Oregon. It's at least 1,500 miles in circumference, and even larger by other individuals who've thought about it. It has the walls of jasper on 12 foundations of precious stones. Why, the color scheme is more beautiful than any person has ever beheld. In fact, someone has said, and I believe correctly, that as you view the city, it's as though it's sitting on a beautiful rainbow. 12 beautiful colors there. And there are 12 gates, and each one of those gates is one huge pearl. 3 on each side. Have you ever seen a pearl that large? I don't think so. And then the broad streets are paved with pure gold, and appears transparent glass. Why, we have never seen gold that pure. Through the center of the city flows the river of life. It's clear as crystal, proceeding right out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And then the tree of life forms an arch around or across the river, and it's going to bear 12 manner of fruit each year. We've never seen a tree like that. Just think of it. New growth and new fruit each month. The Bible says there will be no need for lighting in that city, for God Himself is going to be the light there. We might ask, well, what will the people be like in heaven? What will they be like in the new earth? Let's read about it here in 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, and beginning with verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. We're going to be like Jesus. That's what it says. Think of it. He has promised to give you and to give me His character, to give us new hearts now, and then new bodies when He comes again. If we can find out what Jesus was like after His resurrection, then we'll know what we will be like after our resurrection. With that in mind, let's turn to the Gospel of Jesus according to Luke. And let's notice the words in Luke chapter 24. In the first verse, it tells us that He was resurrected. Luke chapter 24, beginning with verse 6, it says, He is not here, but is risen. Remember how He spake unto you when He was yet in Galilee. And then when you go on down to verse 36, a few other events have taken place that day. The disciples have been closed behind doors. They're there for fear of the Jews. And here in verse 36, as they thus spake, Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And He said unto them, Why are ye troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. Well, that's very clear, isn't it? It looks to me that Jesus is real after His resurrection. It's true that in the day that the resurrection takes place, we're going to have need of lots of changes. But we can thank God that Christ is going to change our vile bodies, and they'll be fashioned like unto His glorious body. That's what the Apostle Paul wrote over here in Philippians chapter 3, verse 21. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body? Well, the question may arise, doesn't the Bible say that flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God? Yes, it does say that. The Jewish people, you see, had the idea that because they were descendants of Abraham, that they could automatically go into the kingdom. But Jesus made it very plain that flesh and blood shall not inherit. In other words, a person does not get to heaven just because he or she is a Jew or a son or daughter of Abraham. Instead, only one can reach heaven who is born again. Jesus here is talking about His body. He was flesh and bone, a real person, a real man. He even asked the disciples if they had anything to eat. Why, He was even hungry. I believe that we will have real bodies there after reading what I've read there in the Scriptures. Another question that we might ask, will we know one another in that beautiful place? When we open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 12, we read these words, For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. God's Word declares, friend, that we shall know one another even as we're known. And that's comforting. I'd hate to think that that I look so different that people that I've known all my life couldn't recognize me. That'd be discomforting, wouldn't it? Soon after the resurrection, Mary thought that she was talking to the gardener, but it was really Jesus. Then she recognized Jesus. And how did she recognize him? It was because of his voice. The way he said, "Mary." And then she cries out, "Oh, Rabboni, Rabboni," as she grabbed his feet. And Jesus said unto her, "Don't keep holding on to me. I've got to go back to heaven." You remember there was a man by the name of Doubting Thomas. He said, "I'm not going to believe. No, not until I can see the nail scars right in his hand." And just a few days later, he had his chance, didn't he? Jesus said, "See, here are my hands. Here's the wound in my side." Thomas then knew it was Jesus, because Jesus did have those scars in his hands, in his side. Friend, in that beautiful promised land, you and I are going to know one another. And not just simply by our voice, I believe also by our appearance. The familiar characteristics. You know, a person can always know that Bill Tucker is Bill Tucker by perhaps the ears, or perhaps the nose, or perhaps the shape of the mouth. We all have our different characteristics, don't we? But we're always going to be known. Jesus knows us, and how does he know us? By the open manifestation of our character. Where will our eternal home be? That's the question. Let's look at it right now. Revelation chapter 21, beginning with verse 1. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away.' And he that sat upon the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said unto me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.'" Friend, can you imagine a place where there are no hospitals? There are no police stations? You don't hear the sounds of a siren because there are no fire departments. Can you imagine a place where there's absolutely no sickness, no death? Imagine absolutely no crime, no more bombs, no raging fires, no floods to be seen. You'll never hear words like cancer or AIDS or divorce or terrorism or disaster, or suicide. No, everything, absolutely everything is perfect. In other words, this planet, this earth, will all be made new again. Imagine it. Planet Earth is going to be recreated. God is going to recreate a new atmosphere, our first heaven. He's going to recreate this earth. Let's take a look at Isaiah, chapter 65, verse 17. We read these words, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. And they shall not build and another inhabit, they shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the works of their hands." Well, it sounds to me like we're all going to be farmers. and we're all going to be carpenters, doesn't it? Well, let's notice what it says in Isaiah 66, verse 22 and 23. For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another and from one Sabbath to another shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. Sounds to me like during the week we're going to be tending to our gardens, tending to our homes. And then on the holy Sabbath day, we will come together to worship our God in the city. Won't this be an interesting way of life? Will there be any weariness in heaven? Have you ever thought of that? Notice what it says here in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Well, that's very clear, isn't it? The redeemed will never get tired. Why, you can run all over God's new earth and never be weary. You can jog all day, all night, all week, and never get tired. Imagine that. Heaven is going to be a real place. What about sickness? Well, we've already read some passages, but notice what Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 24 says. And the inhabitant shall not say, I am sick. Imagine that. We'll never get sick. Thank God for that. When you see all of this sickness around you, it's comforting to know that we'll not have to have any more visual of sickness. That's a thing of the past forever. Well, let's open our Bibles now to Isaiah 35 and verse 5 and verse 6. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. What a promise. I can just throw these glasses away. If you've had something wrong with your eyes or your legs or your hands, thank God, everything is going to be made new. New eyes, new everything, completely new bodies. Praise God. There's a book that I read not too long ago, the book Great Controversy. On page 575, there was a very interesting statement, and this is what it said. In that better world, immortal minds will contemplate with never-failing delight the wonders of creative power, the mysteries of redeeming love. There the grandest enterprises may be carried forward, the loftiest aspirations reached, the highest ambitions realized. We will have new heights to surmount and fresh objects to meet. Friend, let's remember one thing for sure. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. Yes, only those who are ready will be dwelling there. Jesus has promised to give us characters just like His to prepare us to live in heaven with Him. Have you read the promise lately? Revelation 22, verse 14. Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. Friend, I want to be with Jesus. Do you? I want to eat of that tree of life. I want to go through those pearly gates into that wonderful home that He has prepared to be with those whom His heart of love was broken because of our sin. This is going to be the best part of heaven, to be with Jesus. what love Jesus has for us, that he refused to enjoy the pleasures of heaven while we were lost. And instead, he came down to planet Earth. He gave his life to save us. I would encourage you today, if you've not done so, accept him as your Savior and Lord. Permit him to live his life in you. If you'll do this, I can assure you, his blessing will be yours.